Do you remember the first time that you ever gave a public speech or a presentation in front of a large group of people? When I was 15 years old, I was asked to MC this banquet that was happening part of my church community. And I don't know really why they asked me, because at 15, I was shy. I was quiet. I preferred to fly under the radar. I didn't like too much attention on myself. But I thought, why not try something new, a new adventure, new challenge? Truth be told, I said yes because the person who asked me was a young woman who was about 2 or 3 years older than me. She was very popular and attractive, a leader in our youth group. I think I would have said yes to pretty much anything she asked me that day. I said yes without really knowing what I was getting into. And the next day she phoned and said, "Jade, by the way, at this event, there will probably be 300 or 400 people." And I thought, wait, what? And not only that, but it's a fundraising event. We're hoping to raise tens of thousands of dollars for this event. And I pictured these very influential people at this event. And suddenly I thought, what have I got myself into? And I actually felt sick to my stomach in that moment. You know, people talk about getting butterflies. I felt like I had pterodactyls flying around in my stomach. And I wondered, how in the world do I get out of this event? It was funny that the day before, I had thought, a new thing sounds interesting. It sounds exciting. It's energizing. But that day, new felt scary. It felt terrifying. It felt that this was going to stretch me in ways that were really uncomfortable. You know, we're in the middle of a series entitled, "Behold, I am doing a new thing." And we're looking at the story of Christmas and how God breaks into the world in a new way. And no question, with the Christmas story, there's a sense of wonder and excitement and comfort as we think about what God does. But I think there's also another element of God's new thing that he does in our lives, that new can sometimes be scary. The new thing that God does can sometimes bring change that's uncomfortable. The new that God does can sometimes feel like it's turning our lives upside down. And for a few moments today, I want to explore the story of Joseph, because Joseph would have had mixed feelings about the new thing that God was doing in the world and calling him to. You know, Joseph is probably one of those forgotten characters in the Christmas story. Like, I can't think of a Christmas carol about Joseph, can you? And if you open up your nativity set and Joseph is missing, well, some people might not even notice that. But I think Joseph plays a crucial role in the Christmas story. He's a provider and a protector for Jesus. But more to the point, Joseph shows us what it looks like when the new thing that God does brings significant change to us. Joseph shows us that sometimes when God does a new thing, it turns our lives upside down, and it can be uncomfortable and it can be scary. You know, as we look at the Christmas story, I know that some of you will say there's really nothing new in this story. I've read this 1,000 times. I've heard sermons on this. And yet it seems to me that Advent is a time of waiting, where we wait and prepare our hearts for the new thing that God will speak into our lives this Christmas. Advent is not just about a story that happened a long time ago and a long ways away. But in Advent, we prepare our hearts for the new thing that God will speak into our lives, for a new lesson, a new encouragement, a new stirring of God's Spirit, a fresh word. And there's no better person, I think, to understand what that might look like than the person of Joseph. His story is found in Matthew 1, starting in verse 18. This is God's word. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. Now let me just pause there and remind you that marriage in the first century was pretty different from marriage today. It was kind of a two-step process. A couple would be pledged to be married or betrothed, and they were actually considered husband and wife. At that time, they were bound legally, but they were not bound sexually or domestically. And this was a time of preparation. And we know that Joseph was a carpenter, a craftsman, and so what was Joseph doing? He was probably preparing the home that he and Mary were going to live in. And can't you just picture Joseph for a moment at work, a big smile on his face? He's filled with a sense of anticipation and hope for the future. He pictures his new bride, Mary, in that home, and they're happy together. And maybe in Joseph's imagination, he sees children running around through the house. And this picture is so comforting and exciting. Maybe his kids will even help him with the carpentry. You know, Joseph and Family Carpentry Limited. We all operate with a kind of vision of the future, a picture of how we want our lives to turn out, the good life. And Joseph has that, and it's comforting. But nothing could prepare Joseph for the new thing that God was about to do. Verse 18, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. Let's just take a moment to imagine emotionally what would have happened to Joseph. How he would have went from hope to heartbreak, from delight to despair. How this would have been so confusing and heartbreaking for him. He would have had that awkward conversation with Mary. Mary said something like, Joseph, there's something I need to tell you. And Mary's story would have been as hard to believe then as it would be today. Pregnant with a child conceived by the Holy Spirit. Joseph feels betrayed. You know, one of the most painful human emotions we can experience is betrayal. When someone we love and trust hurts us. You know, it's worth pointing out that sometimes when God does a new thing, it's not all sweetness and light. It can feel confusing. It can turn our plans upside down. It can be painful and stretching and scary. It can feel like it launches us into a place of crisis. That's the place that Joseph is in, a personal crisis. You know, 2020 has felt like a year of one crisis after another, hasn't it? So many things have entered our lives and our world that were unplanned for, were unwelcomed, and they've made life difficult, and they've called us to make so many changes. And in that crisis, the question that we are invited to pray into is, God, in this place, could it be that you are doing something new? Could it be that you are at work, even though I don't see it, even though I can't sense it, could you be doing something new in my life? So Joseph decides to move on with his life, to quietly divorce Mary so as to not heap any more shame, and to move on, to pick up the pieces of his broken heart and to move on in his life. But the story continues in verse 20. But after he had considered this, a quiet divorce, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Wow. What a dream. I mean, Joseph's head must be spinning as he thinks of what the angel has revealed to him, that God is doing a new thing, a radical, a revolutionary new thing. A savior will be born. So Mary was telling the truth. And I have a part to play. I'm to help raise this child, Jesus, who will save the world, who will save me. And as Joseph is just beginning to wrap his mind around this amazing new thing that God is doing, he gets scared. He gets terrified as he reflects on all that God is calling him to. He's afraid because in the scripture it says, the angel tells him, Joseph, do not fear. You only tell somebody do not fear if you think they're afraid or they're going to be afraid. And Joseph is full of fear as he reflects on all that God is calling him to. Joseph is thinking, how am I going to explain this to my family? How am I going to explain this to the people of Nazareth? Because in first century Nazareth, in a shame and honor culture, people talk. And Joseph's thinking, they're going to think that Mary was unfaithful to me and that I'm just old gullible Joe. Or that we slept together before this happened. What about Jesus? He is going to be raised under a cloud of scandal and suspicion. This dark cloud will follow him and us. It will be so hard to shake. Maybe Joseph is scared of how plans have changed for him. You know, maybe Joseph thinks to himself and prays to God and says, you know, Lord, I always thought that Mary and I would have a big feast together, and then there would be intimacy, and then we would have a child, and then there would be changing diapers and so on and so forth. But under this plan, I'm going to be changing diapers before the intimacy. God, I don't really know about this plan. Sometimes when God does a new thing, it messes with our plans, doesn't it? And it brings fear. It seems to me that throughout the scriptures, every time God did a new thing, it provoked fear in people. People thought, what, me? I couldn't do that. God, you must have got the wrong person. I am so inadequate. Fear is probably the normal response to God doing a new thing because we do have to let go. We have to relinquish our control of our lives, our plans. As another Joseph Campbell put it, we must let go of the life we have planned so as to accept the one that is waiting for us. What might be the new thing that God is stirring in you this Advent season? Maybe it's big. Maybe you are at a place in your career where things are very stable. And during COVID time, you've been blessed and fortunate to have that stability. And things are good, but you are starting to sense a restlessness. And you wonder, could God be doing a new thing in my life? Could he be calling me to something new to invest in? And, And even to ask that question can be scary, because it's letting go of something that you know that is good, that is secure, and embracing the unknown. I remember when my wife Brandy and I were first married, she had just recently left a job that involved a lot of travel, wasn't particularly a good fit for her. And she's always had a heart for kids on the margins, kids who are vulnerable. And she heard about the urgent and desperate need for foster homes, for foster parents, for families to welcome in kids who were in crisis, sometimes for a night or a week or a month. And as she heard about this opportunity, her heart soared. And as she shared it with me, my heart sank. Because though I recognized the need, this wasn't part of my plan. You know, I said, Brandy, you know, we just got married. We decided to wait before trying to have kids. This is our time of freedom. And I remember thinking about that and thinking about how this plan was so different. And I remember that there was a warming in my heart that took place over time, that maybe my plans and my ideas, maybe I could let go of them, that maybe I didn't get a dream like Joseph. I wish I did. But I think I heard the whisper of the Spirit that said, do not fear. That you can trust me, that I am leading you to a good place. I am leading you to something new. And for about a year, Brandy and I welcomed and got to be part of the story of some beautiful kids. Again, sometimes it was just for a night or a week. Sometimes it was a month or two. And we were pulled into a story that was bigger than us, bigger than our plans, to the story of the lives of these kids. What might be a new thing that God might be stirring in you? You know, maybe there's a relationship in your life that has become strained or estranged. And maybe the new thing that you're being stirred to is to take a step toward reconciliation. And that's scary. But maybe you will also hear the voice of the Spirit whispering, do not fear. I am doing a new thing. Or maybe there's a hurt from your past that, and I say this sensitively, you have nursed for a long time. And perhaps God is inviting you to let go of it, to forgive. And that is a terrifying thing because you've held on to this for so long, it's been a part of you. Maybe during this season of COVID, you might recognize that you, in terms of your faith, have taken a step back, that you have become a passive viewer of things instead of an active participant. And maybe the stirring in your life that God is prompting is for you to take a step towards community, to being seen and known, to being a part of a group where you need to be vulnerable, and that can be scary. And yet, in your fear, God may be whispering to you, do not fear. I am doing a new thing. Well, how does this story end? In verse 24, we read Joseph's amazing response that despite the fear, despite the change, here's how he responds. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Joseph says yes. He says yes to the new thing that God is doing. And the world has never been the same since. That Joseph looks at his fears and he looks at his plans, which have all been turned upside down. And then he looks at the new thing that God is doing, the revolutionary new thing. Wait, but the living God is coming and entering into our world, and I get to be a part of that. Emmanuel, God with us, it's almost unthinkable. And as Joseph says yes, his fears quiet and trust rises within him. And he says, I thought the plans for my life were good, but God, I happily, joyfully yield to your plan, to what you are doing. I trust you. Joseph, in saying yes, gets to meet the very one who has come to save him, Jesus. When we say yes to the new thing that God does, we too get to see in a new way the one who has come to save us, Emmanuel. In our yes, we trust God that what he has for us is so much greater than what we have for ourselves. And we are brought into the very story of God. When we say yes, we get to be part of something spectacular. For an ordinary human being to say yes to the new thing that God does pulls us into the greatest story ever told, God's working in the world. What might be the new thing that God is calling you to this Advent? Let's pray together. Lord, in the midst of this Joseph story, we take time to still our hearts and to listen to how your Spirit might speak to us. What is the new word, the fresh word, that you might speak into our lives today? And just take a moment to listen. Wherever you are listening or watching to this, just take a moment to take a few deep breaths and to listen to how God might speak to you. Friends, may you hear the whisper of the Spirit in your life today, saying, "Do not fear." And may you feel trust rising within you. May you feel rising within you a desire to say yes to the very new thing that God calls you to. Amen.